Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello there, audio lepsters in Audioland. How are you today? Hope you're doing fine. How's the weather where you are? Is it nice? It's actually very pleasant here. Very hot October. My goodness, wasn't that a hot October? I don't know where you were or are, but oh, October was hot. We're well into November, of course, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me tell you briefly about this episode. So in this episode, I'm being interviewed on my own podcast. I'm the guest. And the host is Stephen from Send 7 Podcast, who wanted to ask me some questions about podcasting and about Luke's English podcast. So this is quite a long conversation about podcasting, about how I started my podcast and some of the ins and outs of doing this long term since I started in 2009. Now, I must say that this episode feels a little bit self-indulgent because I do all the talking and it's all about my show. And you might have heard some of these stories before, but I thought that I would publish this all the same because I have some new listeners who don't know about how I started my podcast and who might not have heard some of those old stories. And also I share some new things about making a living from podcasting too. So if you're interested in what it's like for me making this show, including things like how and why I decided to start doing a podcast, if it's possible to monetize a podcast, and some of the other considerations of what it takes to make a podcast, then listen on. There's also some chat about French and about living in Paris. So your host of this episode, Stephen, is the host of the Simple English News Daily podcast, where you can get news coverage from around the world in 7 minutes in clear English. How do we find it? You can find it easily by going to send7.org or just search for Send 7 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Right, that's all I need to say at the beginning of this. I hope you enjoy this rather self-indulgent conversation in which I do all the talking. Stephen will be back on the podcast probably in December, where I imagine he will do a lot more talking. But in any case, here you go. Here is Stephen's interview with me, and let's get started. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners, and hello, video viewers. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. Today I'm joined by Stephen DeVincenzi, whose name I pronounced correctly.
Perfect.
First time round. I have said it before, though, listeners. This is the second time you've been on the podcast, Stephen. Well, I should probably ask you how you are, even though I've already asked you that before we started recording. It just feels normal to ask you how you are, just so that everyone knows that you're fine. You're fine, are you?
I am. I'm very, very much fine. Thank you.
Good. Thank God for that. Okay. So, Stephen, maybe you can explain your presence on the podcast this time. What's the purpose of what are we going to do today?
Well, I think I was on Luke's English podcast about 6 months ago or something, in March or April or something. And after we finished recording, I said to you, Luke, can I ask you some questions about podcasting? And you said to me, I'm too busy or I don't have time. I've got to run off and, you know, be a teacher.
Let's go and pick up my daughter.
Be a dad. Yeah, something like that. But you said, let's do it in a couple of weeks. And hey, we can even record it and put it on the internet. And then 2 weeks turned into 6 months. But here we are again. So I was going to ask you some questions that I was been thinking about for 6 months about podcasting and things like that. And here we are recording it.
Sorry it took so long. Yeah, things always do. So yeah, okay. So we're going to talk about podcasting, and you're going to kind of interview me as, and I get to be interviewed, and I get to be like the kind of guru, the master who imparts his wisdom to you. You can sit there and pose questions to me, and I get to kind of stroke my beard and impart my knowledge to you, like I'm a Jedi master and you're a Padawan learner or something. I don't know if I am I'm just joking, of course, but let's see. I'll see what I can tell you. I don't know what your questions are exactly, but
To start off with, Luke, you've been podcasting for more than 10 years, and I don't think I know anybody who has been podcasting for that long. So you've got a good place to start.
It's 13. To be specific, it's 13 and a half years now, which I don't know if I do feel that's important somehow, you know, like the way companies have established, and then the date when they were established, as if that makes their products any better. Like, oh, so you're it's an old business. Does that make it a good business? I don't know. But
I think most people didn't know what podcasting was 13 years ago. I don't think I did. So that's a pretty good start.
I suppose so. It goes in waves, I've noticed, podcasting. I suppose I've been doing it for so long, I've been able to see some of the trends in it. And every few years people start saying, "Oh, podcasting is the big thing now." Yeah. And that's happened at least three times, I think, in the period that I've been podcasting, that people have sort of suddenly caught on and realized. It was obviously COVID was a big one, lockdown. Lots of people started podcasts then, and lots of people discovered podcasts at that time. You started one then.
Yeah.
So COVID was a big thing that really drove the popularity of podcasts more recently. And then before that, for some reason, there was a time around about 2014, 2015. Yeah. And the podcast that people really got into was Serial. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I never listened to that, actually. Did you listen to that?
I did listen to it, yeah. I never actually finished it. Yeah. But yeah, that was a kind of a true crime podcast that really took off, and it was like this kind of piece of investigative journalism by a woman investigating the story of a guy who may or may not have been falsely accused of murder. He'd been put in prison, and she kind of investigated the story, and there were lots of witness accounts, and it was quite gripping following the development of this story. And there's a point, I think, for everyone listening to where they were like, "Oh my God, he's innocent." And then a few episodes later, it's like, no, he can't be innocent. He's definitely guilty. And then you become convinced he's innocent. So that was a big one. And lots of people talked about it and stuff like that. But I remember before that as well, there was a surge in the popularity of it. So it's kind of like come in waves.
Yeah. And true crime is still always one of the most popular categories, isn't it? People love that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm going to put on my interviewer's hat and off we go. Are you ready for some questions?
I'm ready. I hope that I can be insightful and that my brain works today.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
I'm going to start with an easy one. So this is just very personal to you. Did you plan to be a podcaster, or did it just kind of happen?
When plan, sort of at what stage, like after I'd started or before? Just thinking about becoming a podcaster by accident.
Yeah, so did you at some point say, "Do you know what, I'm gonna dedicate my time to podcasting," or was it in the beginning of that kind of YouTubey era 13 years ago, apparently, where you just uploaded something and it got a few people watching it and you just carried on?
No, I did decide. So there's YouTube and then podcasts, you know, and I've kind of been doing the two since 2009. I set my YouTube channel up at the same time I set up the podcast, but they are two different things. So I've focused on the podcast, and YouTube has been a sort of another thing, another platform. Yeah. But it's mainly the podcast. So I did choose and decide to set up a podcast. So that the way it started was in 2009, or maybe the end of 2008. I was given a special responsibility at the school I used to work in, and that they would give teachers special responsibilities. You'd get a little bit of extra pay, and you'd be responsible for a certain thing, like, for example, researching something about English teaching and then training the other members of staff about it, or other things And so the special responsibility I had with a couple of my colleagues was to look into using technology in the classroom and all aspects of that. Now, this is 2009, and at the time, people were still pretty much using projectors.
I mean,
projectors like, what are they? I can't even remember what they're called now.
Overhead projectors.
Overhead projectors, which where you have an acetate slide, a piece of floppy, clear plastic, and you would write stuff on it with a permanent marker, and you'd put that down on the projector, and it would project that onto the wall. And we had whiteboards, and it was just at the beginning where computers started to get used in the classroom in a much more everyday fashion, where you weren't putting a CD in a CD player, but you were like clicking things to get audio. And so it was like this new thing. And the boss at the school asked some of the younger ones to look into all this technology stuff. It was called CAL, Computer Assisted Language Learning. And blended learning, as well as another one, you know, blending technology into the classroom. So I was responsible for that. And one of the things I did as part of that special responsibility was to do an online course in podcasting with a firm called The Consultants E. I think they're still going. It's sort of an online training company. And they did this course in podcasting. Right now, I was always a podcast listener. I'd been listening to podcasts ever since I got an internet connection. I got my first computer with internet in 2006, which is quite late. And so I was really into podcasting. So this was cool. And I learned about stuff like file types and how podcasts work, RSS feeds. And I was introduced to certain podcasting platforms that I didn't know existed before, self-publishing platforms that were really easy to use. And the idea was, what everyone was thinking in English teaching was that podcasts could be used for the students, that the students would somehow be making podcasts in the classroom as part of projects. Yeah. You know, that's how people were thinking they could be used, right?
Oh, they could be. Could work.
They could be, yeah. I mean, it could be possible to produce that, but that would be a bit difficult. But I thought, I think that podcasts could be really great for making content for learners of English around the world. And I talked to the school about it and made a kind of a, what do you call it? A pilot for the school. It was like the school's podcast. I made the pilot. And the director of the school listened to my pilot and he was like, nah. He didn't like the style of it.
Wow.
He thought it was too sort of naturalistic and not polished enough.
Mm.
And so I was like, I'll do it.
Can you remember what you did in that pilot episode?
I did something about a language point. It was about a weird specific language point. I don't know why I came up with this, but it was about using the phrase "the fact that."
Right.
Which I never actually turned into a podcast. Maybe it was just rubbish. I don't know. But after that, I thought, well, I'll do it myself then. I'll just set up my own podcast. I remember walking home from work one day and I just got the idea. I'll call it Luke's English Podcast.
Great name.
The name had a certain rhythm to it, which I quite liked, and the simplicity to it. I mean, sometimes I regret calling it that because, first of all, my name is difficult to spell for learners of English. And secondly, the word podcast is quite difficult to spell. So people constantly write things like, you know, they call me Luck, they call me Look, and they spell podcast wrong. And they spell it podcat or podcast or potcat or postcard and all these sorts of things. And maybe, it's worked out okay.
Yeah.
So I just did it myself.
Two out of the three words are very common things that people are going to be searching for, though, aren't they? They're going to be searching for English podcasts. And
yeah.
So I can see why Luke's English Podcast would come up quite high for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that at least if I put the words English podcast in there, it would be all right. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
No. So, yes, I did intend to do it. I remember there was just like, it didn't take me long to decide. Once I realized, oh, I can do this, I've got a laptop, and I suddenly have found these websites where you can just like literally upload a file and the website does the rest. and it publishes it. And then you can literally just get your iTunes account and search for the name of the podcast. And there it is. It's published. And now everyone in the world can find this too. You just need to let them know about it. And they can. And every time you upload a new one, they will get a notification that it's there. Yeah. And I just thought, this is incredible. This is because I always wanted to have my own radio show. And that was always just a sort of a little fantasy of mine. But, you know, if you want to get on the radio, if you want to have your own radio show, you've got to jump through lots of hoops. You've got to go and do work experience. You've got to make tea for other radio presenters for about 2 years before they even let you anywhere near a microphone.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to really put your time in before you can get there. And then you've got to deal with producers who have a specific idea of how the show should be done. And it's all very, very restricted and stuff. But with podcasts, it was possible to just do it all myself. And that was incredibly liberating and attractive. So yes, I did decide to do it. And I just thought, this is great. I'll do it myself.
Yeah, fantastic. And it sounds like you actually did have that moment when you were walking home where you went, I'm going to do it. So, that's definitely a yes to that question. Okay, but you still teach at the moment, which is quite impressive. You said, I think before we came on, you said you actually taught for 3 hours today, this morning.
Yeah, right? Yeah, this morning. Yeah. So these days I teach 3 hours in the morning and three hours in the morning on a Monday and 3 hours in the morning on a Thursday every week. So, yeah, I'm still teaching.
Do you want to keep that connection up, or do you think there's going to be some moment when you go, you know what, I'm just going to be 100% podcaster?
I don't know. I'm a little bit reluctant to stop teaching because, maybe I feel like I'd lose my edge or I'd forget how to do it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But also, so I keep teaching for three reasons mainly. The first reason is that I like teaching and I like to keep, you know, I like to keep exercising that muscle. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just good for me as a, first and foremost, as an English teacher, I think I should probably still be in the classroom quite a, you know, a fair bit just so I can remember how to do it and keep my teaching skills fresh. But the second reason is that I like the contact. I actually like going into a place several times a week and seeing my colleagues and the social side of it and the students. I actually really enjoy the interaction with the students, listening to them, trying to work out what they're trying to say and help them and stuff. And then the third reason is that it just helps to have a permanent contract with an employer in France, because if you don't have a permanent contract with an employer here, then you sort of don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard to get things like like if you're renting an apartment or if you need to buy a property, you need to show them, look, I've got a permanent contract, and then they'll feel a lot more confident about you.
Right.
And it generally helps to get things done here if you've got a what they call a CDI, a permanent contracts. And that's the other reason, just to sort of for administrative purposes, and the money as well, of course. You know, I do get paid, that helps. That's a fourth rather important reason.
Yeah, too. Definitely. Okay, well then, seeing as you're talking about money, can you make money in podcasting?
Yes, you can. But I'm wary of just saying to people, yeah, you can make money. I don't want to be one of those internet sort of salespeople. You know, you get recently on YouTube, because I get adverts before YouTube videos because I haven't got YouTube Premium or whatever. But recently on YouTube, I've been seeing this guy, this American guy, who is doing these short adverts at the beginning of episode of YouTube videos. He just pops up and he's one of these guys who's like filming himself in front of a very big mansion with lots of expensive cars outside. And he's like, what if I could tell you that I could, change your income from this to I could make you a billionaire. You know, these people who just like, there's no way that you know, the promises that you're making here about how you can make me a millionaire or a billionaire are just, I mean, it's obviously nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, you're obviously just going to try and sell me something.
Right.
And, you know.
So you're not going to be standing in front of a mansion telling people, if you become a podcaster, you can have a mansion.
You
like
can
this.
Be a millionaire. I can make you rich. No. I really don't want to. I mean, it's taken me a long time. obviously. But I think that I'm not a very business-minded or business-savvy type person, really.
Yeah.
I'm more of a creator, really. I like to do creative stuff, and the rest of it, I'm very badly organized. And I often think, like, you know, constantly think, oh, damn, I'm really not capitalizing on this as much as I should be. There are other people out there who are much more business-minded who would be making a lot more money and finding ways to monetize in clever ways. I mean, there's so many aspects to it, Stephen. There's like finding an income, but then there's like marketing as well and communication. And
do you do any marketing?
No, not really. It depends what you mean by marketing, doesn't it? Because in a way, everything is everything. No, I became Irish for just one second. Everything, no, or Jamaican. I don't know. Everything is marketing in a way, because it's just the way that you communicate things to people. But I don't know, where should we start? Yeah, you can definitely make money. There's a few different ways that you can make money from podcasting. But it can be hard. And obviously the main thing is that you need an audience. And the larger the audience is, the more leverage you have for making money, obviously. It's a bit like if you're a farmer and you have, if the more land you have, the more potential you have for growing crops.
Yeah.
And is that a good analogy? Maybe. But yeah, if you've got a fairly small audience, it's possible to make money from them, but you've got to be extremely shrewd and very clever about it. And you've got to use all of the possible marketing tools and monetization tools at your disposal and be very driven, very focused and very hardworking. And you could make money from it. Then again, the more people you have, basically you've got people's attention. The more people's attention you've got, the more likely it is that they will then come back to you to purchase something from you. Or once you've got their attention, you could maybe use that opportunity to let them know about another service that belongs to someone else. You know, you can use your platform for sponsorships or advertising. But the main thing is that you do have to try and get a fairly large audience before you can really start to convert that into money in your bank account every month. You know, the percentage, I mean, as you probably know, as a podcaster yourself, if you get this many people listening to your show and then you just want those people to do one thing, even if it's just click a link to get a free thing, like click a link to just get the PDF. And it's not even like a marketing thing. It's just like, oh, by the way, I've made a PDF for this one. If you want it, you can have it. I thought it might be useful. You just need to click the link and it's a direct download link. So there you go. And it's just PDF. Transcript for the episode, yeah. You know, because people keep asking me for it, so there you go.
Maybe and 2% of people will click it, or
yeah,
something like that.
It's about 2%, maybe. Yeah. You know, if on a good day it's 10%, it can be 2%. So yeah, this is your audience, and then it's always going to be this tiny portion that will actually do a thing.
Yeah,
and even if that is that is not even a paid purchase or anything, if it's just a click to get a thing, only a tiny portion will do it. And then from that tiny portion, another tiny portion will then go a further step, which is to maybe enter their card details in order to pay for something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. It's kind of like a ratio of maybe 1 to 10% of your audience. And so, you know, when you realize that you're dividing the audience down into smaller chunks, then we start to see the importance of having a large audience. So I think for me personally, it took me a long time to start monetizing. You know, I started in 2009. I didn't really start monetizing probably with sponsorship was around about 2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Around that time, I started to actually make some money from it beyond just PayPal donations, which listeners kindly would donate. But yeah, I didn't start monetizing until, what's that, maths?
2000
is about six or seven years that I started. So the rest of that time was just me working out what the, you know, just making episodes. And then maybe after about 300 or 400, I started to actually make money. But I wasn't Also, Stephen, this is very rambling. Sorry for my rambling
answer.
Go
ahead. No. It's easy to interview you because you have
a lot of... I never shut up.
Yeah, I was going to say you have long answers, but that's another
way
of
saying. Sorry, I can't help it. What was I saying? Another thing. Oh, now I've forgotten what it was, of course. Another important thing. No, it's gone.
Advertising? I think that was...
Advertising, yeah. Oh, that's it. When I started, there were no monetization options. It just wasn't a thing.
Right.
Like, you know, there was no such thing. There was no Patreon. There was no iTalkie. Yeah. There were no companies sponsoring podcasts. There was no automatic advertising. Yeah. There was nothing. There was just nothing at all. PayPal was in its infancy, and so people were able to donate to you through it. But other than that, the whole podcasting industry and infrastructure just didn't exist. Yeah. And so that didn't really start coming along until I think it was about 2016, actually, when I started talking to another podcast host about advertising. They actually came to me. Yeah. They asked me, would you be interested in moving to us and we can put ads in your podcast? I was like, ads in the podcast? Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't want to do that. That would be horrible. And now it's so much more normal.
Yeah.
I've only recently started actually doing that myself because it's normal now. I don't think people are quite as bothered by it.
You're providing loads of really high quality content for free. So all that somebody has to do is have an advert there for a few seconds every time they click, then I think that sounds absolutely brilliant, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it allows me to keep doing it. So it's just that's the nature of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess.
You mentioned iTalkie. That's one of these companies that they connect teachers to learners, isn't it? And I suppose that your advertising with them was probably... based on people who actually went through and used the service. There's a word for that. What's that word?
I don't know. What, click through or affiliate?
Like that. That's it.
Affiliate links?
Affiliate links. Yeah. Was that worth it for you or not really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, good. You know, what does worth it mean? What are the metrics?
Did people in terms click through?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they did. Because it was quite a good fit, you know, because obviously with the podcast, people get lots of listening and lots of exposure and also some direct teaching if I do episodes like that. Yeah. But what they missed was just the opportunity to speak and speak regularly to native speakers or non-native speakers or whoever. Just speaking practice was what they missed. And iTalkie kind of was perfect. It kind of fit that little hole that was, you know, the missing part.
Yeah.
People did do that. Yes.
Yeah, good. It's nice to be able to kind of advertise something that you actually genuinely believe is really useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, one advantage of podcasting for learners of English is that there is a clear reason for them listening, and it's there's a clear thing that they want from it, and it's an opportunity to learn skills. It's not just true crime, which is kind of like, how do you find sponsors for if you're a true crime podcast? Maybe. it's difficult. Like, what do you like, murder?
Would
you,
you know, or something?
yeah axe shops, yeah. I don't know. So it's quite a good fit with iTalk.
Some really specific things that you can be telling people to go for, teachers, schools, yeah, things like that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you have more listeners on YouTube or on podcast apps?
Podcast, definitely. So the podcast. The way podcasts work is that it's essentially an RSS feed. Okay, so the RSS feed is the audio podcast, and then there's the YouTube channel. So it depends. Some YouTube videos do get more listens or views. Some individual YouTube videos get more, but generally the podcast episodes get a higher number of downloads. YouTube is a funny one because I've got 300 and something, 330,000 subscribers, yeah, but my videos don't all get 330,000 views. Every now and then, one of them will get more than 330,000. But for the most part, it's getting, again, 10% of that, or some of them less. You know, some of them don't get to 10,000.
Something to do with the algorithms or something, things getting recommended to people.
Yeah, it is completely to do with the algorithms, and it's all a bit mysterious. And I don't know.
So whereas with the podcast apps, probably the people who listen are people who know that, yeah, I always listen to Luke's English podcast every time he's got a new episode that comes out. I download it or something like that. But with YouTube, it's more reliant upon algorithms and random factors like that.
Yeah, I guess when someone is watching on YouTube, you're there, and YouTube is also constantly recommending other videos that you could be watching.
Yeah.
Basically, YouTube kind of doesn't care as long as you're on YouTube.
Mm.
And in fact, what YouTube wants is for you to be in one viewing session. Let's say you spend an hour on YouTube. I think that probably what they want is for you to watch five videos in that time rather than just one.
Yeah.
Especially if that one video is only being monetized with an ad at the beginning, one in the middle, and one at the end. That's three ad placements if you watch the entire thing. Whereas if you skip around five times, then you're going to watch five different ads.
Yeah.
You know? So YouTube kind of likes you to skip around and move around as long as you stay on their platform.
Yeah.
And it's you know, designed by psychologists to encourage you to do that.
Absolutely.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. But podcasting, yeah, you go on, it's not getting your attention and trying to make you listen to something else all the time. You go in, you choose which episodes you want to see, you know, based on your subscriptions. And then Bob's Your Uncle, you listen to an episode and you stick it on in your headphones. You put your phone down. You're not constantly looking at your phone while you're listening. You put the phone away and then you've got the voice in your headphones, and you're much more likely to just stay and listen and build up a personal connection and so on. So, yeah, that's it. And also, I think it's probably because I make my show as a podcast. I don't make it as a YouTube show.
Yeah.
Because to be successful on YouTube, you need a slightly different approach, different types of editing, different types of presentation and all that. And I just essentially do a podcast, and I also put the podcast on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. That's the main reasons that I don't even put Send 7 on YouTube, actually. The same things. It just requires some other kind of attention to it that I'm not willing to put in.
It's a whole other form of production. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And YouTube will suck you in. And, you know, it's very good at doing that, of like, you know, sucking you in and trying to make you, hey, now, you know, you should make shorts.
Yeah.
Because like on TikTok, because this is the best way. And YouTube wants people to make that kind of content at the moment, because it's clearly what's working. With, you know, TikTok is a huge success. And so YouTube's like, oh, God, we better do what TikTok's doing.
Yeah.
Make short videos quick. Yeah, so YouTube will suck you in and suddenly you start playing the YouTube game.
Yeah.
But for me, it's been more... I mean, YouTube has been great for me too, because some of those, as I said, some of my videos have gone viral.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has brought an audience to my audio show as well. So, you know, and plus a little bit of revenue from YouTube ads.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge amount. It's a little bit, but all these little bits of revenue.
Totally. Yeah. With the YouTube ads, do you get to select whether they're on there, or is it just automatic? Like you start getting it because you've, I don't know, got 100,000 views on an episode. You just automatically get given this ad revenue.
I think your channel has to get to a certain level before you can get advertising on it, or at least you need to be checked. You need to be verified for advertising first before you can start having ads on there. So that comes. But then, yeah, when you upload a video, you get the option to activate advertising or not.
Mm.
And when you activate it, you can sort of choose several options of like what type of advertising you want and if you want one in the middle or not.
Mm.
I didn't used to put them in the middle because I didn't want to interrupt wonderful viewing experience, but these days I'm like, nah, I think I'll put one in the middle now.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone's okay with it now. It's sort of become normal, as I said before.
Most of your most of your videos would be an hour long anyway, so I think it's justified.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't put them all the way through, which is, some channels do that, and that gets really annoying, you know. Yeah. You definitely get the impression they're just sort of trying to squeeze as much cash out as possible. Every now and then there's a copyright violation. For example, if I have a little bit of music, even if it's just music in the background. So I did one where I did a YouTube video outside, and someone was busking in the street and they were singing Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Wow.
And it was in the background in the distance, and then YouTube slapped a sort of a copyright claim on that video.
That's amazing. Do you think that's some kind of computer system which is but is able to actually recognize the song, not just the original, but just from a busker?
Yeah, yeah.
Playing it in the
absolutely
street. That's really
sometimes I play sometimes
technology.
I play sometimes I'll play guitar on the podcast and I sing, and YouTube's like, you're playing this song and it's owned by this artist, and so they have this. Some when that happens, sometimes the record company who owns the rights to the music, they monetize the video. So they allow you to have the music in there, they allow you to sing the song, but they monetize it. And either, it depends on the arrangement, but sometimes they'll do a split where they'll take 50% of any revenue that you get from that video, or they will take 100%. And they essentially say, it's all right, we're not going to remove your video, but we are going to take all the money. Thank you very much. You know?
Wow.
So there's all sorts of different reasons why it happens, and different reasons why you get more or less money. Some types of advertising content, some types of content seem to get higher rates of revenue. Like if you're advertising technology, you know, these YouTube channels where they are showing cameras and high tech stuff, those ones seem to make a lot more money than, for example, a true crime podcast may.
Maybe they've got more people clicking through to buy the technology.
I'm sure it is the case, yeah.
Okay, next question. I think you've answered this at some point before, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What country From where do more of your listeners come from?
So, typically, I like the way you rephrased the question there. Instead of saying what country, you said from where.
Yeah, it gives now, you this more is scope to go down the avenue of continents or whatever you like.
But also, this is an important thing because I have in the past said, let me tell you, everybody, my top countries over the last year, or the top countries this month. And then I go through a list of countries, which is, and this is a list given in my podcasting dashboard.
Yeah.
And then I make the mistake of mentioning that one of those places is a country. And then I get,
can I guess which?
A whole bunch of emails from people who quite strongly point out to me that that place is not a country. It's part of my country.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And what do all of the people from that country actually say, though?
Well, you mean that place? I mean, let's just, what? Country, place, part of the world. What are we going to call it? The people from that place, they don't get... Well, the people from that place, they say, I'm sorry, we are a country. We're a sovereign nation. Thank you very much. And then the other people are like, no, you're not. You belong to us.
Yeah.
This could apply to a number of different places. This could apply to any place. So if you, listeners, viewers, if you are imagining that it is one place in your mind right now, just think twice, because it might be another place. I might be talking about Northern Ireland.
Do you know what, Luke? I actually have more people who listen to Send 7 from that country, which some people think is not a country, than from the big country that claims it.
Really?
Yeah.
Both of those places are high up in my top five. And in fact, these days, the country that we're talking about that's not Northern Ireland is up there, maybe in second place.
Really? Yeah.
So other places there are Japan, Russia, China, also the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is a big one. And strangely, the United States as well.
Yeah.
But I suppose there are lots of people who've moved to English-speaking countries and they really, really feel the pressure and feel the need to improve their English.
So
that might account for that.
Totally. I've seen, if you look at the top podcasts in Germany, loads of them are podcasts for learning German. And I think it's just because there are so many people who have gone there without speaking German and are learning there.
So. Makes sense.
Yeah, great. Okay, so you gave the politically correct answer.
Or not.
Answer there.
Someone's going to be annoyed.
Yeah.
Someone's going to email me and say, excuse me, should I just point out that country whose name you didn't mention is actually part of another country whose name you didn't mention? How do you know? How do you know which one I'm talking about? I'm talking about Fredonia and... I don't know.
Can I be politically incorrect for a second?
If you like, yeah.
Yeah, well, that place has been completely independent since 1950. And
oh, they'll know what you're talking about.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So it's been completely independent since 1950. It doesn't actually have any kind of control going on from that other government. You know, it pays its own taxes. It's got its own systems of absolutely everything. It's got a vibrant democracy, as they like to say. So
the ideology is strong, though, Stephen, where people are convinced of a certain narrative.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to try to fight individual battles in individual email threads.
I know.
And I just can't be doing with it, Stephen. That's one thing that does annoy. I mean, generally speaking, as a podcaster, and when I talk about correspondence with my listeners, it's wonderful. And the vast majority of messages and stuff that I get from my audience are just really great and really sweet and very encouraging and lovely. I mean, learners of English, for the most part, are just lovely. I mean, do you not find?
Absolutely.
You probably get a similar thing, right?
Totally. I think in my 2.5 years since starting Simple English News Daily, I think I've had 99% positive stuff coming to me. Yeah.
But then again, every now and then you'll just mention a thing, you'll just mention a topic and it triggers someone out there and they have to write to you and correct you on it. And we've been through some tumultuous times with Trump and Brexit and various other things that sometimes, you know, I talk about these things and I just rub someone up the wrong way and they write to me and correct me, sometimes in quite a direct way.
Yeah.
And that's not very nice. You know, it's not nice to receive those sorts of messages. It does sort of ruin your day a little bit.
Yeah. But
so,
I think the thing
is,
as you said before, you know, you've got this audience that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, if you're talking to that many people, no matter what you say, you're going to upset somebody with some particular idea in some way, right?
Yeah. I used to have a colleague in the language school I used to work in, who had a theory that it's one person in every 30. And this was actually describing classroom situations where you have classrooms of about 15, maybe about 12 people per classroom, and you have them for 2 weeks, and then another 2 weeks you get another 10 to 15 people, and then 2 weeks later it's, you know, one person in every 30 is going to be difficult or weird or not nice and troublesome, which means that you're probably going to get once a month, you're probably going to get one person in one of those classes who's just a bit of a problem and just drains all your energy and the other students don't like, and they kind of spoil the class sometimes, you know. And sometimes you might have 2 months with no one.
Yeah.
And then you get one class and there's three of them in the same class.
I had four last year in my class. So
did you really?
Yeah. Tough year. Yeah.
Yeah. It can be. It can be really, really hard. I mean, like, just weird ego sort of struggles. Like, you get some students in classes who, because they are not the alpha in the situation, because they're not the teacher, then they sort of feel like they've got to take shots at you and try and bring you down and, you know, bring you down in flames,
yeah,
in order to, I don't know, just to sort of feel like they're on top of the situation. And just like, why do I have to deal with this? You know, can't you see we're just trying to achieve something together and I have to like keep putting you in your place? It's really a really frustrating thing. Same thing with stand up. You always get certain, every now and then someone in the audience who's just like, just sit back, sit down and be quiet. Go and sit in the corner.
You mean like the Will Smith in the audience who's just going to come up and slap you?
Exactly. The Will Smith who is worried that he's going to look small because, or he's worried that his wife's going to be angry with him because he was laughing at the joke. And so he realizes and goes, oh, God, I better do something. And he stands up to try and be the big man and slaps the comedian. Yeah. But same thing with email. As you said, if you get a certain number of people are listening to you, there's always going to be a certain proportion of people who feel duty bound to contact you for some reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that much. But,
well, no, and yours is a show which shouldn't really almost ever talk about anything, political.
Important or
evil. Yeah, something like that. So, and actually,
I
do that on a daily basis, and yet,
right,
still,
you do,
and yet still, you know, literally 99% of what I receive is positive. So, yeah, it's really, really rare.
Your show is quite sort of, what's the word for it? I mean, it's a news show, and so there's less. It's less of an opinion show.
Yeah, zero opinion.
It's not really opinion. It's just presented in this factual way. And also, you know, you do lots of research and stuff too. So it's not like you're just one individual who's just sort of like talking without knowing what the hell they're talking about. Sometimes maybe that happens to me where I'm just kind of like talking and people misunderstand. Yeah. Like I'm making a joke. Like I did, you know, once I, yeah, the one time, oh God. No, I'm not going to tell that story because it'll just bring me back. But let's say this. I was reading a funny story which happened to take place in the country that we were talking about that's not a country but is but isn't. Schrodinger's country, right?
Yeah.
I say Schrodinger's country, that's a reference to Schrodinger's cat. Those of you who are thinking Schrodinger, who is Schrodinger? Is he the president of this country? No. Just look up Schrodinger's cat. It's a cat that both exists and doesn't exist at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was telling a funny story about something, and the fact that it happened in this place was nothing to do with the story. And then, you know, just the fact that I'd called it a country.
Yeah.
Was the reason why lots of people got in touch with me. Well, we should move on from this.
There was that, we definitely should, but there was that really big, I think he's a wrestler or something. I can't remember, or a boxer. I can't remember who he was now. Somebody will type it up in the comments. Who actually apologised for saying the same thing, for saying that this place is a country. And he speaks the language which is common between those countries. And he actually apologised. I can't remember who he is. Or was it John Cena or something like that?
John Cena. Really?
John Cena? Whatever. Yeah, something. One of these guys. Yeah, apologize. Anyway,
well, to finish my story, the same thing happened, right? So I just told my funny story. Someone wrote to me. A few people wrote to me saying, "Sorry, but this place isn't a country." And then I, being the stupid fool that I am, I then at the beginning of the next episode, I'm sorry, I think I made a bit of a gaffe. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I said this place was a country when apparently it's not, so I'm sorry I did that.
And then I got all of the people from that country.
Exactly. I got a ton of other emails from people saying, "What the? We are a country, for Christ's sake!" And then I think in the next episode said, "Oh, you know when I it started to get ridiculous." I said, "You know when I said that place was a country, and then I said, sorry, it's not actually a country, and I'm sorry. Well, apparently it is a country. So sorry to the people who were offended by the fact that I said it was a country. You know what? Can you just argue amongst yourselves? Why am I getting dragged into this?"
Yeah, well done. Yeah, it's like a Russian doll situation, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
Go on for it.
Yeah, or at least a doll from a non-specific country.
Okay, let's.
Like Inception. Yeah,
let's move on before we get in any more trouble. Here's a nicer one coming back to you. So since being a podcaster, you've also become a dad. How do you manage your time?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, the fact that she goes to school now obviously helps quite a lot. So that's fine. I manage my time all right these days. It's pretty good. It's great, actually.
Because you've obviously you're a dad. You've got your dad responsibilities. You're teaching for a few hours, a couple of days a week. You do you do quite a lot of podcasts, really, for somebody who's been going for such a long time. You put out, you know, more than one a week, at least.
Too many.
And you also do your premium content, which obviously takes more time. It seems
a ton.
Yeah, it's
a lot of time. Yeah,
very impressive. And apparently, you actually have a social life as well. So that's amazing.
Somehow, I don't know really. So it doesn't all. I find it hard to do all those things all the time. So I don't. You know, there's for the last 4 years, I haven't done as much stand up as I've wanted to do. I think since my daughter arrived, you know, one thing had to sort of suffer, and it was the
life wasn't funny anymore.
No, it's just that I had to, you know, I wanted to be at home in the evenings, and it was a bit harder to just like go out and stuff. And you know, when you got responsibilities and stuff at home, it's just a little bit, you know, you end up being a bit of a homebody. And so I wasn't going out, and I kind of disappeared from the stand-up scene a bit. So managing time, I don't know. I don't know really. I don't know how I do it, Stephen. Yeah. I think one of the things about doing the podcast is that I try to, in terms of my workflow, I try to make it as efficient as possible. Plus, having been doing the podcast now for, you know, getting on for 14 years, I'm quite sort of not good at it, but I've kind of got my rhythm and got my routine down,
does
so I can kind of whip up.
Does it take you a long time to edit and things like that, or is that quite fast?
Depends on the episode. So if it's just me, then I can do it really, really quickly, and often I can do it without an edit. You know, I can just do the whole thing. If it's a rambling episode sort of thing, I can just switch on the microphone and just ramble and then stop, and then unless I remember there was something I needed to cut out, like, for example, I said the name of a country that I shouldn't have said, then I can shouldn't really be laughing about that, because it's pretty serious, isn't it? Let's be honest. But anyway, so if I'm just doing one on my own, I can pretty much record it, like add the jingles and stuff, do the post-production stuff on it, encode it into MP3 format, do the website page for it, create the show notes for it, create an image for it, create a YouTube image for it, if it's just audio, and get all that wrapped up in a few hours, and get it uploaded. For example, when the Queen died, I got the news, and that evening I came to my office here and did an episode about it and sort of got it all wrapped up and published by the end of the evening.
Yeah.
So it depends. Like, those sorts of episodes I can do pretty quickly, but other ones are going to take a lot longer. So I did, on Saturday, I did an interview with someone, and it's video as well. And that's going to take bloody ages, because to edit it, it's going to take a lot, because I've just got two video files and I have to put them together and edit it together so it looks all right. And also, one of those video files, for some reason, the audio is drifting. Do you know about audio drift?
No, I don't, actually. Is that where it kind of parts itself? So, for example, our conversation doesn't fit in the right place? Is it something like that?
Exactly. Exactly. It's something to do with the frame rate or the sample rate or something for the audio being captured. It has to... I don't really get it. But when you record an hour of video, suddenly for one of the people in the video, one side of the conversation, if it's a remote call like this, their audio slowly goes out of sync with their video over the course of the whole video. So with this, the one I did on Saturday, I'm in sync with myself. My video and audio are locked in sync for the entire thing, but he goes out of sync. And so after an hour, there's like a good 2 seconds between his mouth moving on the video and the audio appearing in the audio track. And so that is a huge headache to deal with.
Yeah.
Because it means that every minute or so I've got to cut the audio, slide it across, match it up with his movement of his mouth. Ooh. And as well as that, I'm editing between his side of the video and my side of the video, cutting it together so you can see it properly.
Wow.
And I'm going to do all of that. And I've got to do an introduction for that in order to try and explain who the guy is and what the video is about, because I think it's going to confuse some people.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen today.
No, I don't think it's going to happen today, but who knows? We'll see. But so some episodes take a lot longer. The premium ones take tons of time. Because I do them in a more serious way. They're not just rambling conversations, but they are like lessons, essentially, you know, where I go through, if it's teaching vocab, then I really try and do as much research into the vocab and pull lots of different examples, all the different collocations. I have to prepare like questions to help people remember, questions to help people use the language, phonemic transcription sometimes, creating the PDFs, you know, all that stuff. So the pre-production side of the premium ones is a very long process, and it's quite punishing. I end up sitting there like battling my way through it, bashing it out. But you know I've got to try and put the work in for my premium people, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, yeah, but it's all right. Teaching 6 hours a week. My daughter finishes school basically around about 5. So it's basically 9 to 5 most days of the
working
week, except for 2.
Far.
It ain't no way to make a living, but it kind of is a way to make a living. So, that, you know, we should tell Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
That she got that one sort of wrong. Working.
If you're doing what you like, then brilliant. Great way to make a living.
Yeah, that's the thing. As Confucius famously said, pick a job that you like and you won't work a day in your life. I don't think he said it in English, of course. That would have been weird.
Can you say it in the original?
I certainly can't. But I do like to imagine Confucius. I can't. I don't know. I couldn't say it in the original language. But I love the fact that Confucius said this thing in English. And I sometimes wonder what it would have been like when Confucius one day said, "Ha, pick a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life." And all the other people around you are like, "What? What did he just say? What?
Okay. Some quick fire questions to finish us off. Okay. So try and answer these as quick as possible. How long have you been in France?
10 years.
Pros and cons.
Ooh. Bread is one of the pros, definitely. Really, really good bread. Magnifique, délicieux. So bread is great. Cheese is pretty good too. So food, obviously. What else? My wife is here too, so that's kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter. The fact that my wife and daughter all live here is kind of a big part of the thing. They're major advantages.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, Paris, it's a beautiful city, of course, and it, you know, sometimes I have to just sort of like look up and have a look around and just realize, wow, this place is actually rather spectacular, and people travel thousands of miles to come here, and here I am living here every day, so that's nice. Doing stand-up, there's lots of opportunities to do stand-up in English.
Amazing.
Yeah, funnily enough, yeah. But if I was back in London, there are millions of stand-up shows that you can do every night of the week. But because there's so many other people doing stand-up, obviously in English, the market is saturated completely, and you just kind of think, well, I won't bother then. I'll just be one of the millions of other people doing stand-up. Whereas here, there's only like the small gang of us.
Yeah.
And so that's quite cool to feel like you're...
I've got to say, Luke, I'm really amazed that there are so many people that want to do stand-up. That really sounds so scary to me. It sounds like such a nerve-wracking experience, like to just get up on stage and know, like, I have to make these people laugh. Otherwise, I've failed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but...
impressive.
It's not quite as bad as it seems, although it can be. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's very popular these days. It's like, you know, very, very, very popular. Almost more popular than music and being in a band, I feel.
Really?
Like, yeah, like so many people are like doing stand-up, like more than... Certainly when I was in my 20s, no one was really doing stand-up. It was like, obviously the people were, they were professional comedians, but I never met anyone else who did stand-up. Mm. But these days you constantly... People, oh no, my mate does stand-up now, and like everyone's... Yeah, it's become a lot more popular and trendy, obviously, since I started it.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's like, because I'm such an influencer.
Yeah, trender.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said lots of pros. I think, did you say some cons there? I can't remember.
No, I didn't. I mean, I could list many.
Yeah.
There's dog poo on the street, and that's annoying. Sorry to bring the tone of the conversation down, but it's not my fault. It wasn't my dog, you know. But I do find that incredible. Sorry to all the listeners who have dreams of coming to Paris, but the reality is that, yeah, it can be a bit grotty.
Yeah, people don't clean up their dog poo.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe that this wonderful, sophisticated place, people just let their dogs poo. You know, I sometimes walking along with my daughter and there's just poo, and I'm like having to help her avoid it, you know. Yeah. And I often think, what animal would let their pet do that? You know, I don't know.
It's actually a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to bash the City of Light, but yeah, it is a bit of a thing. It's a pity. I mean, when I say this to Parisians, I say, and they say, "Oh, do you like Paris?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great." And then at some point, you know, like, oh, but you know, there's some things like, you know, there's is a bit quite a lot of dog poo on the street, isn't there? And people are like, well, it's not as bad as it used to be. You think, oh my God, what did it used to be like?
Just looking for this place where there isn't any to put your feet.
I don't know. Parisians magically sort of seem to float above it, though. They kind of somehow manage to avoid the poo. They'll be walking down the street with their phones, looking at their phones, and they're just weaving in and out. Like, they don't seem to. The other thing is that if you actually step in a dog turd in Paris, if you step in it in with your left foot, is this correct? That's good luck. Whereas if you step, like, come on, don't try and turn it into a good luck system. Yeah. Okay, just clean it up, please.
Okay, great. Next question. Parlez-vous français?
Oui, un peu. J'essaie.
Super.
Mais bon, alors. C'est un peu difficile, mais ça marche. Je peux... Ça comment? Ça va? Oui?
Oui. Oui.
Bon, bof.
Oui, je pense que ça va. Voilà. Okay, next one. Japan, you lived there for 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you miss?
Oh, wow, lots of things. Just the vibe. You know, the general vibe of the place, which is just cool. I miss the restaurants, the food, you know, like just all of the Japanese food is just special, and it's hard to get the real deal outside of the country.
Ramen.
Like a really good ramen. If you've been out, you've had a few beers, and then it's a bit late, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're kind of hungry and thirsty, and, you know... Oh, ramen, a big, nice, lovely big bowl of ramen is just the thing. And just stuff like walking down some dark back street in some part of some nice town on the edge of Tokyo, where I used to live down near the coast, Kanagawa Prefecture, just sort of like walking down some dark street one evening, and you suddenly realize that it's incredibly atmospheric and the place is like something out of a... You realize that you're in what looks like a Japanese film, and there's just this indescribable atmosphere and the way the place looks, the design of the houses, and suddenly you get this moment of like, wow, it's really, really Japanese and really kind of zen. You know, you just have these little zen moments every now and then. So I miss those things. Yeah, but I mean, I don't miss the very super hot, humid summer. That was a bit hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And the my working routine was very punishing. And the lack of holidays. I mean, that's a good thing about France. You get plenty of holidays. Basically, you get the entire month of August off. Whereas in Japan, like, they get maybe 5 days of holidays, two of which they can actually have. Because even during the holidays, their boss is like, oh, yeah, we want you to come into work for a thing. You know, it's like a work-sponsored thing. Oh, God, right. So I even have to come into work when I'm on holiday too, just to show my loyalty to the company. Yeah. So I don't miss the sort of the work ethic. But there are plenty of other things I do miss. The food, the fact that you can go when you're waiting for your train in the morning to go to work in the middle of winter when it's all cold, you can actually... just buy from a little kiosk a bottle of green tea, and it's in, you know, the way you can get cold drinks in England, right? You get, you know, little fridge, you get your bottle of juice or Coke or water or something, and it's cold. They've got the same thing, but they're hot.
No.
So you can pick your hot green tea in a bottle from this little little sort of hot cupboard.
Yeah.
And that's just a great way to start the day, like a lovely bottle of warm green tea.
I think they have some novelty vending machines, don't they? Did you see any novelty vending machine that you can particularly remember?
Well, no, not really. No, I mean, this was a thing that in England, everyone thinks that Japan is full of funny vending machines where you can buy like girls' underpants and stuff, but I didn't actually see any of that stuff. There were lots and lots of vending machines that sold a wide variety of drinks and lots of energy drinks and vitamin drinks and stuff, and different types of tea and coffee and stuff like that. And maybe the craziest thing was the fact that you can get, what is it? You can get beer. You can buy beer from vending machines in the street, which is nice. And you can buy sake from vending machines in the street. So you can just get booze in the street from vending machines.
That would probably get abused in
England. In yeah, of course. All the 14 and 15-year-old, 16-year-old like kids would just be in the street like, oh, you can get booze from these vending machines. And they're all getting all the drink from it and going to the park and getting drunk.
Yeah.
Because they're not allowed to go to the pub or buy beer from the off-license. Yeah. So, of course, people would completely abuse that service in England. But in Japan, it doesn't seem to be a problem as far as I can tell. But it's just convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. It definitely is. It sounds great.
Have you lived in Japan?
No, I was on holiday for a couple of weeks a long, long time ago when I was 17 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely loved it. Yeah, fantastic place.
Where did you go?
Tokyo, Kamakura, Osaka, Hiroshima, Nara.
Kamakura. That was my neck of the woods.
Ah, nice.
Kamakura.
Yeah.
I used to great work Buddha. Just next. Yeah, the big bronze Buddha. I saw Dave Grohl there.
No way.
Just bumped into him.
Wow.
Yeah. Podcast listeners will be like, oh God, here we go again. He's told this story about 9 times. I won't go into the details.
Did you challenge him to a drum battle?
No, unfortunately not. No. I didn't. But
next time.
I nearly ignored him. I nearly tried to be too cool. I was like, oh, Dave Grohl. Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
I'll leave him alone. And then as I was walking down the hill, I thought, wait a minute. I can't tell my friends that I came to a big Buddhist temple on the side of a hill in Japan. I saw Dave Grohl and I didn't go and talk to him. So I went back and I talked to him. He was very nice.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
He is, I think, as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Next question. What podcasts do you listen to if you even have time to listen to them?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a good question. Although someone just rang my door intercom in my apartment. But that anyway, that's beside the point. Good question. Pocket Casts. I use Pocket Casts as my podcast player of choice.
I've often found that podcasters prefer Pocket Casts. There's something about it. It's just a really good.
It's good. It's
really
just good decent. Yeah. It's decent. You can manage your podcast quite well. They've got different filters that you can apply.
Yeah.
It's a nice app.
And
they don't
so
bully you with advertising. It's very simple.
You open it and you've got all of your favorite podcasts right there. It's the only screen. That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on, show me that and I can see if I can...
You can see the podcasts.
The daily, that's at the top of mine as well. Yeah.
I subscribe to a lot of podcasts, right?
Yeah.
And so these are the ones that have uploaded maybe today or yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't, I listen to almost none of these,
yeah.
Stephen.
Fair enough.
But the ones that I do listen to on a regular basis are the ones in my up next category. So basically, for some reason, my podcasting listening has narrowed down to a very narrow type of show, and it's all Beatle podcasts.
Wow.
I just listen to podcasts about the Beatles.
Seriously, that's incredible.
With a couple of exceptions, I still listen to WTF with Marc Maron. I still listen to that after all these years. Wow. He's been going since 2009 as well.
Mm.
What else do I often... I almost always listen to the Adam Buxton podcast.
Right.
He's been podcasting for ages. He's used to have a BBC Radio 6 morning show with his mate Joe, and that became a podcast as well, and I used to listen to that all the time. And then he started his own podcast, I guess 2014, so I listened to that. Other than that, it's mostly Beatles podcasts. So that would be Something About the Beatles, I Am the Egg Pod. I don't want to miss anyone out. Glass Onion on John Lennon, and others like Nothing Is Real. All of those Beatle podcasts and loads of others. Another Kind of Mind. There's loads of them. One Sweet Dream.
Wow.
There's tons of Beatle podcasts, and I listen to almost all of them.
Amazing.
It gives me. And for some reason, I'm never bored of listening to people talk about them.
Is it mostly just like stories about the Beatles' lives and their times and things like that?
There are many different facets to it. All of it, just any angle you want to take, there's Beatle podcast episodes about it. And it's, stories, anecdotes about them, but also describing, for example, you know, some of these podcasters will do a whole three-part series about 1 year in their career, for example. And I don't know, it's just, how to put it? The more specific you get, the more you analyze one very specific thing in great detail, the more insightful and interesting it is. I mean, it really, really is. There's so much depth into them as individuals, their psychology, their relationship, but also the music, also the other people involved in the story, the times, you know, the culture and the politics of the time. And so the Beatles are essentially a lens through which you can look at human psychology, society, culture, politics, history, music, and many other things. So it's not just about them, but about so many other things. That's what's maybe interesting about them. Somehow they are, through the Beatles, you can explore all sorts of other things. I think that's one of one of the reasons why they're so appealing.
Would you have liked to have been around in the 60s?
I think so. I'm not one of these people who would be like, it was better back then. Who's kind of like this idea of this sort of nostalgia or the sense that wanting to escape to kind of Arcadia of the 60s or something. It would have been an interesting time. I think it would have been kind of a bit difficult as well in some ways. I'm not being very specific there, but one of the things about the Beatles is that they seem to be out of their time. They were of their time, but also out of their time. They seem so modern and so sort of authentic and genuine.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that I'm sort of fascinated by the 60s, but more about the their particular story.
Yeah. Well, they say that being the top selling band in the world or something, they're also the most underrated band in the world. Some people say, don't they? Just because they have so much like musical gems that are hidden that people don't know about and secret meaning behind their things. So, I mean, even though I obviously don't know anywhere near as much as about the Beatles as you do, I can appreciate that there probably is a lot more to know.
Most people, I think, when you say the Beatles, they just instantly get about five associations. One of them is just four guys in black and white in suits, kind of going, ooh, like that. That's one thing. And playing sort of music that sounds very old-fashioned now and is about, saying I love you all the time. Mm. And another one is probably like Yellow Submarine, like a kid's song that you learnt at school. The other one would be Hey Jude. Just pull Hey Jude.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing,
else politically incorrect, but that's a really boring song compared to...
Well, exactly,
their other stuff.
That's it. There's Hey Jude, there's Yesterday, there's Yellow Submarine, there's Let It Be, and arguably that is really boring stuff. Although, having said that, Hey Jude is actually a really good song, actually, when you get beyond that first impression, which is like, oh, here it is again, the sort of the cliche of Hey Jude. But actually, wait a minute, no, when you listen to it, you know what he's singing is the story is that he wrote that song for John's son, because John had just split up with the lad's mum. He went off with Yoko, and Paul felt sympathetic towards the boy who was about five. And so he went and he wrote this song for him saying, hey, Jude, don't feel so bad, you know. And that's very, very sweet. I mean, that is incredibly sweet that Paul wrote this song for him. But then wait a minute, you think, wait a minute. No, is he singing to John? No, this is for John. He's saying, John, you've found this girl. Now go and you found her. Now go and get her and don't worry about, me and the Beatles. He's basically saying to John, you found love. We understand, man. Go for it. And then you think, wait, no. It's about himself. Because exactly the same thing had happened to him. And it's about him accepting that he's found the woman that he loves and sort of telling himself, okay, don't let this opportunity go. Give it a chance. Give love a chance. Anyway, I'm trying to be profound and I'm not succeeding. But anyway,
no, I won't say that any more Beatles songs are boring, because I'm sure you'll.
Yeah. No, stop me. I must stop about that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Difficult one. What will the world look like in 10 years?
Oh my God.
Shall I make it a bit easier for you?
Well, I already had an idea.
Okay, then go on.
Building in my mind. So there's the negative. There's the dystopian view, which is it'll look like that scene in The Matrix, where Neo wakes up and the whole human race is basically just living inside plasma-filled pods, directly connected to the internet. Meanwhile, the artificial intelligence that runs the universe and is now feeding us a synthetic version of the world directly into our brains is sucking our actual life force from us.
Okay. So there's that. You don't want that one to happen, I guess.
No, that's that's the very negative view, which is basically where everyone is being exploited all the time and distracted by a simulation. There's that. But hopefully that won't happen. The better one is that, maybe we've found a way to get beyond our addiction to fossil fuels, and that more green energy is being used, and scientists and engineers are finding ways of allowing us to use energy without it destroying the world, and that people are learning finally that they can live next to their neighbors without having to enslave them, exploit them, and put them in a cage, and I don't know. One vision of the future is very pessimistic, and the other one is very what's the word for it, naive and innocent and optimistic. I don't know. Oh. I don't know, Stephen, what do you think?
No, actually, I think I agree with you generally on the second point, not on the negative one to start off with. I don't think we're going to be having tubes connected to our heads, putting us in the Matrix.
It'll be wireless.
Well, either way, I don't think that's the future. But no, actually, I think I am. Yeah, say it's naive, that's fine. But I think I am quite optimistic about the future. I do think that there's going to be less conflict in the world as we go forward. And actually, if you look over the history of the world, even though it might not seem like it, because, you know, you've got people like me telling you about it happening every day in the morning, but actually there is less conflict going on in the world all the time. And I think that is probably just going to continue. And yeah, I think even though we've gone through a bit of a trough from the coronavirus pandemic, and since then more people getting into poverty and things like that, I do actually think that overall we're going to be coming back up and out of that as time goes on. And yeah, I think even though we've been separated a bit from globalization with things like Brexit and people like Trump, who are very against globalization, I think we will probably be realizing that globalization is just kind of the natural progress of humanity, and it will probably come back to some kind of normal again. And yeah, I'm optimistic that it's gonna be better as time goes by. Maybe that's naive.
Yeah, I guess things go in waves again, don't they?
They do.
You know, like people, like stuff happens, people react to it, people accept it, the wave goes back, you know, and then it's just, yeah. Well, let's just hope for some level of stability and normality and just general peace and harmony.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy. You may say I'm a dreamer, Stephen, but I'm not the only one.
No. Yeah. Well,
okay.
Let's say now, what will you personally be doing in 10 years time?
I reckon I'll still be doing this.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll still be doing this. Obviously my audience by that point will have grown so huge that essentially I will be like the big brother in 1984 by George Orwell, where literally every person on earth is listening to me, and everyone's got a huge screen in their one room apartment with my face on it, and it's just me 24 hours a day just staring at them, speaking to them in English like this, where they literally I've got their attention just constantly. Yeah, that's how, I don't know. Now, in 10 years, yeah, I just hope that I would like to still be doing my podcast. I don't, yeah, and I want to be able to keep doing that, please.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
What about you?
Me, yeah, probably something similar, actually. Like, yeah, I love doing my podcast. I'd like maybe for that to become my main source of income at some point, and then yeah, like I really enjoy doing that, and then maybe, you know, have the ability to just wake up in the morning, buy a newspaper and read it from front to back, and do my podcast at night. That would make me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
that's good. Yeah, lovely.
Okay, what do you want for Christmas?
I want a camera, please. I would like a Sony, what's it called? Sony Z flipping heck, what's it called? Anyway, basically I want a camera. I want a Sony like a vlogging camera, please.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm asking you. Yeah, that's to use for
it to you as if I was gonna buy it, didn't I? So
open the window, I'm hot.
Yeah. Is that to use on the computer? Is that like or not? In other places.
Yeah, that's to use for doing stuff like this. I mean, the camera I've got on this laptop is actually very good.
Looks good.
It does. It looks fine, doesn't it? Really.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't need a camera, but this is a laptop webcam that I'm using.
Yeah.
It's on a MacBook, Apple Mac laptop, but I'd like a yeah, I would like a vlogging camera just to get a slightly better image. But I mean, I probably don't need that. I mean, look, I look fantastic, right? I mean, I don't know. Okay. So I don't know. What else do I want for Christmas? I always want more guitars.
Yeah.
I always want another guitar.
How many do you have?
One, two, three, four, five.
That's pretty good.
No, six. Wait a minute. Six. Because I bought one for myself. I treated myself to one. I won't explain the reason, but I promised myself about 6 months ago that I would treat myself to a guitar if and when, you know, I deserved it. And it was like, right, okay, time to buy myself that guitar. And it wasn't too expensive. Don't worry, everybody. But I bought myself a Hofner. Oh, this is fascinating stuff, isn't it, listeners? I bet you're all like, which guitar? But Luke, which guitar was it? Please tell us. What's it called? A Hofner Club Bass, which is like the one that Paul McCartney plays, but not the same. You know, he's got that violin bass. I love the way those basses sound, but I'm not so keen on the way that violin bass looks. Stephen's like, violin bass? What? What is he talking about? Flying over, this is going straight over your head, and if it's probably going straight over everybody else's heads too. So I will just say, I bought myself a new bass guitar, and it's great, and I've been playing it, listeners. They don't just go on the walls, you know. I do actually take them off.
Do you have enough time to play? How often?
I will sit here, right, and I'll work, and then I'll just grab one, and then I'll just sort of distract myself for a bit.
Great.
It's a nice way to be distracted. Mm. And then when I'm done, it just goes back up on the wall.
Nice.
And I can carry on. So yeah, I do. I just use them as distractions, as a way of like, okay, I've done a bit of work, I'll just be distracted and sort of fiddle away on the guitar for a while and then go back to work.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, yeah, good. So more guitars for you and a camera for Christmas. Okay, good.
Okay.
Is there anything that you would like to say to your, you know, vast audience all over the world? Anything that you've been thinking for a while that you just haven't said? Anything that comes to your mind?
Anything I've been thinking that I haven't said?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm thinking, have I reminded them to sign up to LEP Premium? I don't remember if I said that to them or not. Of course I have. But they could, you know, that's always worth saying. Don't forget, listeners, to LEP Premium is available, teacherluke.co.uk/premium. But is there anything that I haven't said to them? There's always stuff that I think, I should talk about that. I should mention that. I've got tons of Google documents in my computer full of things that I'm preparing to say, and I just never have enough time to do them all. Wow. But right now, at this very moment, now that you ask me, I can't think of this burning thing that I have to say to them, except this: well done for listening all the way through to this episode.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah, well
it's
done.
Been long.
We've gone on a lot of tangents.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah.
And thank you. That's the thing I want to say to them. Thank you so much for listening to my show. I think, should I be saying that, Stephen? Should I say, thank you for listening to my show? It sounds a bit like, thanks for letting me do this. But, you know, you do feel grateful, right? Yeah. You know, for having an audience.
Totally, yeah.
They say thank you to me,
yeah.
And I say thank you to them. I think that's a pretty good arrangement.
It's an amazing feeling to know that there are thousands of people who actually are interested in listening to what you want to say, right? That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So, yeah
it's great.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Thanks. Thank you okay. Too, Stephen.
Well, thank you as well, Luke.
You have
final
one
question.
More question.
Yeah, one more.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the World Cup?
Who's going to win the World Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a big one. I don't know. I haven't been following the international football lately, so I really don't know. Are you in a better position to give a prediction on this?
No, I don't think
Who are the... You don't know? Who are the favourites? We don't know.
I actually don't know. No. Who's
Hold
the
on.
Are you going to Google it?
Well, yeah, I'm going to Google this quickly. Yeah.
I think England is actually, you know, in a better position than it's ever been for a long, long time.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's doing pretty well at the moment.
But people always say that at the beginning of an international competition when England, I actually rate England's chances this year. I think we could be in with a chance this year. Every single competition, I think we could be in with a chance. And then of course we get, you know, knocked out on penalties in the second round or the quarterfinals every single time.
Against Germany.
We do really well in the lead up to the competition where we're playing like the Faroe Islands or something like that. We're like really convincing. I thought we did really well against Papua New Guinea, who like literally you've only got 10 people who play football. Yeah, I think we did really well against them. And then when it comes to the actual World Cup, it's like, oh, I think we've got a good chance. And then we just completely fluff it. All the players suddenly forget how to think and kick and they can't communicate with each other. Everyone gets frozen somehow by, I'm in the World Cup. Remember 1966. Everyone starts singing, It's Coming Home and It's Coming Home. And then the whole team comes home.
Yeah.
Favorites.
I'm not sure if the idea of this question, you know, like who do you think is going to win the World Cup? I'm not sure if it really works if you actually just Google who are the genuine favorites. I think it kind of takes
really?
Away from the per- yeah. I think you're supposed to give some kind of spirited idea, you know, of like, oh yeah, it's gonna be England. Something like that. But go on, seeing as you've already Googled it, you might as well tell us.
I mean, I only Googled it because I felt like we opened the question. We can't just leave it unanswered. You know, and there needs to be some commentary on this. Brazil are the bookmakers' favourites to lift the 2022 World Cup.
All right.
This is according to an American website, I think.
But they are talking about football, right? Not that American football stuff.
Yeah. No. Anyway. According to this website, I don't know where it comes from. Brazil are the favourites, blah, blah, blah. France are also up there. Argentina, England, also Spain. Basically, you know, the usual big
the
clubs.
The usual culprits. Yeah. Okay.
Germany will probably win it.
Yeah.
They normally do. Isn't that, what's that quote about football? Football is a game in... football is a game... in which basically I can't remember the quote now, which is really great podcasting, isn't it? But it's something like football is a game played by where two countries play each other and then Germany win. It's something along those lines.
Yeah, great. Okay. I think that's actually all of the questions that I wanted to ask you, Luke. I tell you what, maybe you can just answer this. What's next for Luke's English podcast?
So I don't know when this particular episode is going up, but as I speak right now, the next episode is going to be an episode with Amber and Paul. I don't know if you know who Amber and Paul are.
I've seen them before. I've listened to a little bit of an episode with them.
Just a couple of my friends who've been on the show lots of times, yeah. And it's always fun. We always have like lots of fun. We're kind of very relaxed and comfortable in each other's presence, and we sort of bring quite a lot of comedy out of each other. It's quite a good dynamic between the three of us. So I've got an Amber and Paul episode coming next, and accompanying that are three premium episodes as well that go along with that episode.
Oh, cool.
To create the perfect package, Stephen.
Yeah, brilliant.
Which people can get if they just sign up to LEP Premium by going to teacherluke.co.uk/premium, in case I hadn't told them already. And as well as that, I've got an interview with Mark Steele. Do you know Mark Steele?
No, I don't think so.
He's an English comedian. I bet you've seen him before. How can I share my screen here?
Should I Google him myself?
Mark Steele, comedian.
I recognise his face. Yeah.
He's often on the BBC. He's the sort of comedian that might crop up on something like Room 101 or Mock the Week or something like that.
Oh, cool. Great.
I met him in Paris. He came and did a show here. I met him and got talking to him, and he kindly agreed to be on the show.
Oh, fantastic.
And we recorded like about an hour and a half of conversation, and I had a fantastic time. We both really enjoyed it, I think. But then I thought, oh my God, I wonder what my listeners will think. Sometimes I think that. Sometimes I record stuff and I just think, what on earth? As an English teacher, yeah. When you speak to learners of English, even like ones who have got apparently quite a good level at upper intermediate, you can just say one thing to them,
yeah.
And completely lose them. with just one sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, it would be like, today I had an intermediate class. I had one student at the beginning because the others were late. And I said, what was it? So how are you? I said that three times and she still was like, what?
How are you?
So how are you? Yeah. Not how are you, but so how are you?
Yeah.
And she's like, what?
Hawaii?
She couldn't get it.
Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii? What? So how are you? And she couldn't understand, and I had to write it. I didn't write it, but I said, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, laugh, love. Oh, I'm fine. So, and then I think, my God, an hour and a half of conversation with Mark Steele.
It's going to be where difficult
We're talking in different accents. We're talking about specific things about England and stuff. And I just kind of think, sometimes I think, it's amazing. So for those people, again, for those people who listen to my show who don't understand a lot of stuff but they keep listening, like, respect.
Yeah,
guys,
totally
respect to you guys for listening to 90 minutes. And I think it does help. I think it does. Like, if those people who persevere even when it's difficult and they don't understand, I think ultimately it does help.
Is there a reason that you always say learners of English and not English learners?
I don't know. Learners of English, not English learners.
Because for me, it's exactly the same. But I've noticed that you always say learners of English.
Learners of English. I don't know. It's just because I have no idea, Stephen, why I do that. English learners. Is it because maybe in my mind there's the potential misunderstanding that English learners might be English people who are learning something?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
I
don't know. I don't know, Stephen.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Maybe that's a thing I need to change and start calling them English learners.
No.
But if I do,
exactly,
you know what? If I start,
exactly right.
If I start calling them English learners, maybe suddenly everyone will start switching off from my podcast and just like the whole my numbers are just going to fall like that. Like, what happened? Ah, I started calling them English learners and not learners of English.
Oh,
this is clearly the yeah. All right, hey. Stephen, thank you for interviewing me on my own podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Do you know, actually, I'm planning on starting doing some interviews next year on Send 7. So this is a good place for me to start. Thank you for having me to interview you.
You're welcome. Have a nice day, evening and stuff. And interviews on Send 7. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll probably be more like interviewing people from different parts of the world. Journalists, seeing what they think about different situations. Probably get into a lot more
trouble.
Trouble. Yeah, but that will be the intention this time. So yeah, different style.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice one. Well, okay. Cheers. Take care.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you again, Luke. Bye.
You too. Cheers. So that was me being interviewed by Stephen from the Send 7 podcast, Simple English News Daily. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, Send 7 podcast. Listen to the news on a regular basis, very short episodes. It's almost like the antithesis of Luke's English podcast, just straight to the point, all wrapped up in 7 minutes. Simple English. Plain English. There you go. Send 7 podcast. You can check it out. Thank you to Stephen for essentially being a guest on my podcast and not really saying very much and letting me do all the talking. You can see why I felt like that was a little bit self-indulgent, but anyway, there it is. Stephen is due to be back on the podcast in December, where he's got some sort of a quiz lined up for me, maybe some sort of news quiz. We will see. It might be the end of the year news quiz, which sounds like a nice idea. Anyway, that hasn't happened yet, so I probably shouldn't be talking about it. Because there's a sort of an unwritten rule in podcasting. I don't know if it's just in the world of Luke's English podcasting, which is that I shouldn't ever talk about a thing that I'm going to do, or sort of promise to do a thing when it hasn't been done yet. That's always something to watch out for. But anyway, I just did it, didn't I? I just completely did it there anyway. How have the episodes been for you recently? I find that my episodes go in sort of waves in a way, if that... That sounds very pretentious, but what I mean is that the episodes sort of come in these little waves where, for example, recently I did lots of episodes with guests, talking to guests, and then after the sort of interview sort of stop, then I go into those solo episodes where it's just me sort of on one particular subject, like the reading episodes or stories or something. And then when I spend time with my family for holidays, I record like a few episodes with them. And then you get this whole series with the family, and then I get Amber and Paul back, and they sort of go in these different waves and things like that. So anyway, I've got new content coming up. You've had quite a few conversations. I think we're not done with the conversations. There's one or two more coming up, and then probably a couple of other solo efforts. I might try and get Amber and Paul back on the show before Christmas, and then it'll be Christmas time. I've got a Christmas story lined up, which should be fun. Anyway, more to come on Luke's English Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. No need to make this episode extra, extra long. But you will be hearing from me again soon in some form before long. But for now, I'll just say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.